Everybody Can is a conversation about the people and organizations that strengthen our community by volunteering, donating, serving on boards, or sometimes just showing up in micro moments of kindness. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, tenaciously curious and committed to the notion that connecting and serving others provides a space for one to have a sense of purpose and belonging. Olympic Neighbors is one of those places that gives you that sense of belonging. They provide residential and community services to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities with a mission to empower residents to discover what they want in their lives and help them to achieve those goals. Today we have with us Executive Director Claudia Coppola and volunteer Al Latham. Welcome to our program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Missy. We're excited to be here.
Claudia, I'd love it if you could start with a little history about Olympic Neighbors. And I think most of our conversations are going to be focusing on something called the Hamilton House. Could you help us round out the information about how this organization got started?
Absolutely. Olympic Neighbors, as you mentioned, is a local nonprofit that was started by parents who have adult children with intellectual and developmental disabilities to fill an unaddressed need. There was no one in the community offering any sort of residential support to help adults with IDD live safely and thrive in their local community when their parents were no longer able to provide that care. Olympic Neighbors opened its adult family home called Hamilton House in 2018. Hamilton House is a regular home in a regular neighborhood. It provides residents access to affordable rent and 24-hour staff support to help with all aspects of daily living, things like cooking, taking medication, getting to doctor's appointments, finding jobs. But staff are also there to help the residents discover what a good and meaningful life means to them and then to help them achieve that.
You know, I think you mentioned, interestingly, the need. And I think I read somewhere that in our community in Jefferson County, there's somewhere around 100 folks who still live at home with their parents. And is it disproportionate to a rural community such as ours compared to, say, if you lived in King County? Is this something that part of the reason for starting the Olympic Neighbors Hamilton House?
Absolutely. I think rural communities have a lack of resources, but I think you'll also find that in every community across the state, there's a lack of these services. And part of that has to do with funding. So you mentioned that there was 100 people here in Jefferson County who are adults with IDD living with parents. Across the state, there's over 14,000 individuals are living with parents in their 60s, 70s, and 80s and are going to need some amount of support to be independent and safe and happy in their communities when their parents can't provide that care. For Jefferson County, Hamilton House is the only adult family home that serves this population specifically. And there's only one similar home in Clallam County.
What is the resource? I mean, without that, what are the options? What happens to these young adults then and these families, these aging parents that need that support?
In a second, I'm going to invite Al to share the experience that he's had as a parent. But I can tell you that every day I hear stories on the radio or in the news about an individual with IDD whose aging parent has had a health issue and can no longer care for them, and there's nowhere to go. So they're ending up living in an emergency room or in a state hospital or institution. I personally know a family here in our local community who's experiencing that sort of crisis right now. What we're aiming to do at Olympic Neighbors, you know, we're small and we're operating this one house. We hope to be able to grow and expand to meet the needs of our community so that we can give parents a plan and a peace of mind so that they can go through their own aging transition, knowing that when they're not here, their loved one will be cared for. The practice that's in place now, or the lack of resources, is crisis driven and really traumatic for the individual and the parents. So
Well, thank you for mentioning Al. Let us know. I understand you are a parent of one of these residents, correct?
That's correct. My 36-year-old son lives at Hamilton House, and I was one of the people that helped start Olympic Neighbors, recognizing our need as we got older, and knowing through Special Olympics, going there and attending different Special Olympic functions, and seeing the aging parents and what are we going to do. So we started this over 10 years ago, this effort. But we have a lot of support also from other people other than just parents that are concerned about this issue.
Do you have a support group that you belong to that helped you kind of frame up this idea? I can't imagine how one even begins to find the funding or the housing for your child. And just, it had to be quite an endeavor.
It's a long story, but we were trying to set up a situation out in some property in Hadlock, but we never had the funding to start a program or the infrastructure. And a house became available in Fort Townsend, and we were able to convert the garage into two bedrooms so that we could house the maximum number of people that can be in an adult family home is six. Mm. But then once we had that option, then it was easier to raise some funds to get started. And, you know, we were kind of naive going in there. We thought we could do this with the state funding that was available, but turns out the state only provides about 2/3 of the costs of operating an adult family home. So we have major fundraising issues forever until we can get the state to step up.
And how has your son's life changed since he's been in this group home, you know, as compared to at home, the, you know, social skills, life skills? What's happening with him today?
Well, not just him, but all of the residents there have blossomed because they've been home. Some of them worked a little bit. Some had no jobs and were home pretty much except for Special Olympics and a few outings like that. And now they've just blossomed. They've created a family. I mean, they're not just housemates. They're a family. A couple of people who were very reluctant to do anything are now out in the community. And it's just been amazing to watch them blossom once they're out of their parents' oversight.
It's pretty cool. I know one of the testimonials on your website just like melted my heart about, you know, I have a place. I wanted to leave the nest of my parents' home, but I still need a nest. It was just really, really something to have that growth where you have the other folks that are coming alongside you in a different way. So if you're just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can. And we have with us Claudia Coppola and Al Lantham from the Olympic Neighbors. If you happen to miss part of this program, you can find the complete episode on our podcast page. Claudia, we were talking earlier before this interview about COVID and the programming. Like everyone else, your organization got hit deeply. And so these young adults who are thriving, and they're not even just young, they're like, they start from age 21 up to, they could age in place in that facility, correct?
Absolutely. I think the oldest resident in the house is approaching 60.
And so pre-COVID, an example of the services and, you know, just those enrichment focuses, what did the Hamilton House do for some of these folks and still do?
Prior to COVID, our house was really active. At any point, if you stop by, there may only be one or two residents who were there at a time. Most people were out either taking classes, going to routine volunteer sites out in the community, going to work, hanging out with friends, exercise, recreational activities. We were known, you know, for not just housing people, but really ensuring that they have a good quality of life. We also, prior to COVID, focused on some additional services for our residents. We offered a series of healthy relationship courses, and then Olympic Neighbors hosted a monthly community event that was really designed to bring together people with and without disabilities to help foster inclusion and diversity and educate people in a supported, organic way. And those were two services that we really had to pull back on during COVID. Our adult family home falls under some pretty strict guidelines from the state, and in our attempt, you know, to keep residents safe. And like all of us who've been experiencing this, we had to really look at what activities could they do safely, what was the risk level, and what was the impact on them to be able to continue or not continue those activities. And you know, we're really proud that everyone in our house has stayed healthy during the last 2 years, that over half of the residents have been able to maintain their jobs safely in the community. They've continued to volunteer at the food bank and donate hundreds of hours of their time each year back to the community. And different things like that.
I noticed that your life skills component of the enrichment of living in this home does include volunteerism, and I love that component. I want to go back to this community inclusive component. This is a strong aspect of your mission statement. It's not so much just to provide resources and services for these community members, it's to have them come alongside and be, you know, next to folks within our community of all ages and types through an event that's just like an activity. And do you see yourself rolling out anything? Are you doing something to kind of bring that inclusiveness around again?
Yeah, as restrictions loosen up a little bit, you know, we're looking at ways to begin doing those kinds of activities again, but in a way that keeps people as safe as possible. And a couple of months ago, we started a weekly pickup basketball game at the basketball courts at the courthouse. It's every Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. We have board members, volunteers, and staff that are out there with our residents who want to participate, some of their peers, and then anyone from the community who wants to come out and, you know, play basketball.
And how would they find out, Al? Are you one of those basketball players? Do you have a phone number or an email to pitch for this organization for a Friday night pickup?
Well, the email would be olympicneighbors@gmail.com for some to inquire about it. But it's just, it's been great. We have a lot of different members of the community in there who are not living at Hamilton House, who are, have disabilities that come and play. And another thing about Hamilton House is that before COVID, it was kind of a focal point for other people with IDD in the community to come over and hang out.
Yeah, I didn't really, I didn't understand that on the webpage at all. That's a remarkable, because then you're just not only impacting the six residents, but you have all this larger community. Now, Claudia, before we run out of time, I want to make sure we address Future Forward. We're bringing some of those programs, like how to get connected along with our own community, but what are some real functional needs that you're really driving towards for this next season?
Our organization is always looking for volunteers. There's a variety of opportunities. We need people to come do activities with the residents. We need people to help with our website and making forms or to be a board member. Any sort of skill that someone possesses, I think we can find a way to make that fit into our organization.
Do you have a fundraiser later this summer, though? Is there something coming up on the calendar?
We do. So we're thrilled to announce that we're having our first larger in-person fundraiser since COVID. We're calling it the Little Music Porch Festival, also known as Porch Fest. It's a block party style event on September 4th in the Laurel Shade neighborhood, which is at Hastings and Thomas Street. And there will be eight or more bands, food trucks, a beer garden, child-friendly activities, a raffle, an auction, and tickets are $25 to get in. And all of the proceeds go to supporting our services. People who are interested can get more information on our website, olympicneighbors.org, or on our Facebook page.
And did I hear you say there's some expanding going on in your organization in terms of, are you hiring? Are you growing residents? What's going on with changes there?
We are in the process of hiring. We're looking for direct care staff to work with our residents at Hamilton House. We're offering $20 an hour health and retirement benefits, flexible schedule, and we're a collaborative, you know, fun organization to work for. And as far as growth, you know, we're always looking at the numbers and trying to figure out how do we expand so that we can meet the larger needs of this community.
Al, do you have any additional information you want to throw our way before we close this all too short recording with you two?
Yes, we also have an opening for a house manager that pays a little more and kind of runs the house. So one of the problems for expanding is finding staff. Mm. And this is an industry-wide or countrywide issue with adult family homes and senior centers, homes, that kind of thing. But if you want a great job, contact Claudia.
And that is at the Olympic Neighbors website. I want to thank you both for joining us today. And for our listeners who would like to know more, I would strongly encourage you to go to their website. One of the profoundly important things I think about working with nonprofits and volunteers is, what is the accountability? What is the backbone behind? And I have to say, in looking at this organization, they've got metrics that you can look to for results, even during COVID. They're very transparent. The volunteer form is on their website. They're doing best practices. So if you're trying to connect with others, looking for a way to join community, or if this is an area of passion for you, do check out the Olympic Neighbors and the Hamilton House. Al, thank you for having the inspiration and tenacity to find housing and provide community for our special folks. And I consider you very special, Al, as well. And Claudia, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
This is Missy Nielsen, host of Everybody Can. I thank you for taking the time to listen to our program today. It is our hope that in sharing these stories, we've uplifted and encouraged you to find your own path to belonging, perhaps exploring a new skill set or simply impacting the life of another, changing the arc of their potential. Now, I couldn't do this program without the masterful assistance of our production coordinator and sound engineer, Nora Petrich. Now, while I have your ear, we want to hear about those unsung heroes you may have run across. You know, the ones who really like to be behind the scenes. Micro moments of kindness. They are the building blocks of a caring community. We are looking for those stories that exemplify this idea. Small gestures, one-off moments, shout-outs, unique moments of stepping up. We want to hear from you. Send me an email at everybodycan@kptz.org. Now for our own special shout-out for Pat Rogers, who keeps our communications and podcasts squared away. Now go out, get involved, and find an opportunity to share a micro moment of kindness.